Praise the Lord. Well, I feel like I've been gone for 100 years. I'm back. Barbara's back. She's listening to us from the Sunshine Room. Acostado en la sofa. So anyway, it's been interesting. If you ever... if you ever hurt, trust God, he'll help you through it. Amen? And we're learning that. Our lives have been so adjusted in the last few months. Until the middle of November last year, I had been to the doctor 2 times in 27 years. Yeah. And Barbara had been like 3, maybe 4 times in 27 years. We've just been good, healthy, happy, and try to eat right and do right and walk right. We've just been blessed. And then back in November when I found out I had a heart challenge, they wanted to open it up and work on it, and they did, and heart surgery was no fun. But I have a new heart, and it's doing really good, better than the old one. And then Barbara, if you've noticed the last couple of years, she walks like she's 115 years old because both of her knees were just totally worn out, bone on bone. It's just sad. And so we finally came to a peace in our heart to let the Lord heal it through the medical field. And she had her first knee operated on 10 days ago. And it's been rough, but the Lord has been seeing us through it. Doctors and therapy people say she's ahead of schedule. And that's just such a blessing. But it's been rough. It's brutal. I tell you, it's brutal. So take care of your body, amen? Take care of your body because you don't want to go to these surgical procedures anymore than you have to. But anyway, the Lord's been with us, and the Lord's been just surrounding us with love and prayer. And as we say, our recuperation, both mine and hers, has been ahead of schedule. But, you know, not being around doctors and medications and that world, and then all of a sudden in the last 6 months just being kind of flooded with it and you know, immersed into it. It's been like my whole world's been turned upside down. It's like, who am I? Why am I? Where did I get here? How did I get here? You know, it's like, what's going on? But, you know, the Lord never promised that he would be perfect, but he did promise he would be with us. And he's been with us through all of these procedures, and he will continue to be with us. And we just look forward to being healthier and in better order that we might serve you and the people of God and serve the kingdom of God more effectively in our future. So thank you for your prayers. Thank you so much. I don't know how people that don't know God, I don't know how they get through these things without prayer. I guess they take twice as many drugs. I don't know. But it's rough. And I can just so appreciate the prayers of the saints. When I was going through my ordeal with the heart surgery, I just felt like I was, now this is going to sound funny because you probably haven't heard it like this before, but because of the prayers that were surrounding me, I felt like a baby in his mother's womb. If I could remember that far back, to what it was like in the protection and the safety of my mother's womb. That's the way I felt during my procedures. And my stay in the hospital was like that. And it's like, you know, you can't get that outside of a prayer world. You can't get that outside of the supernatural help of God. And so your prayers are very appreciated. And stay with us. We'll get through this and get Barbara through this and anything else that we have to go through in the future. Let's just stay with each other in prayer. Amen? And I'll beg your forgiveness for not being more sensitive to you when you go through things. You know, you hear about people going through things and, oh, well, praise God, boy, the medical world can do anything nowadays. Here lately, when I hear somebody going, it was about someone going through something, I don't even think about the medical world and all the wonderful things they can do. I think about how bad it must have hurt. Oh, you had to do that? You had to go through that? I'm so sorry. You know, and so, you know, when you flip things over and look at the positive side of things, you know, I've got a lot more feeling now for people that hurt. You know, I hurt with you. And, you know, that's good. We're supposed to carry one another's burdens. Amen. So thank you, thank you, thank you. I have a sermon I want to share with you. But before we do it, Mitch and I are going to dedicate a baby. I was going to do this later, but we're going to do it now, Mitch. Come up here and help me. I'll tell you when to come up. Just go ahead and finish your business there. Patty brought her baby all the way from California just to be with you today. I think you ought to give her a hand. And Juan and Patricia are now grandparents. And I think they're probably going to be crazy. You know, I can just kind of see it. They're going to be crazy for their grandchildren. And you don't know about this. You know, one of these days you'll find out. You know, grandparents just get crazy over grandbabies. I don't know what it is. And so you can look forward to being crazy someday for your grandkids. Yeah. And the one guy said that the reason God gave us grandchildren is so we can have another chance at getting it right. You know, raising children is not easy. I found out that the hard way. Raising children is not easy. But one of these days you'll be a grandparent if you're not already, and this gives you a second chance to get it right next time. So, amen. That's good, huh? But anyway, we're just so blessed that they are here this morning. And in the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel, we've all read 1 Samuel, where Hannah needs a baby, and she's not getting pregnant, and she goes to the temple, and she seeks God, and the Lord answers her prayer, and she has a baby. They name him Samuel, who becomes one of the greatest prophets in Israel. And Samuel was dedicated to the Lord at his weaning age, whatever that age is, when Mama was ready to let him go, and when he was weaned, he was dedicated to the Lord. And he, as a young boy, he actually lived in the temple with the priest and learned the ways of God and the ways of the priesthood. And then, according to Jewish custom, we come along in when Jesus was born on the eighth day, which was the eighth day when they circumcised the male children. They would bring these children to the temple and they would dedicate them to the Lord in that sense. And in our modern day, in the Catholic Church, and for some centuries past, in the Catholic Church, when a baby comes along, you know, you have them baptized. And they sprinkle them with holy water in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and they baptize them. And, you know, and I don't think the baby ever remembers that, but anyway, it's their process, and it's their way of blessing the child. And in most of our Protestant churches, we have a tradition, we have a custom that's ancient. And when a baby comes along, we like to present them or dedicate them to the Lord. You know, God gave the child to you, and it's just good to give the child back. Do you know that? God appreciates it when you give back to Him. And this is part of that process. And so we're going to take this opportunity today to give this child that was given to the family. We're going to give that child back to the Lord and ask His good keeping and care upon the child and upon the parents and the grandparents. And so that's where we get the dedicating or the presenting of the baby. In Mexico, or in Spanish, it's presentar el niño y la niña, to present the child to the Lord. In English, we usually use the word dedicate, to dedicate the child to the Lord. Now, as I've done this off every once in a while down through the years, I've had people come to me and say, hey, my kid's 15, and I never gave him back to the Lord. Bring him up. You know? Bring him up. And it's never too late to give your child to the Lord. Never too late to give your child to the Lord. And so don't ever hold back if you have a child that you feel like needs to be presented to the Lord in a public fashion. Well, you know, follow your heart on that. It's good to give your children to the Lord. Anyway, are we ready? Okay, here comes Mama and Baby, and I want the grandparents to come. Mitch, do we have some anointing oil? You're going to notice later when you get to see the baby that he looks just like his granddad. Just like granddad. Amen. He did. Looks just like granddad. Well, once he's out in the sun for a while and gets a better tan. Yeah. And what is his entire name?
Connor Jonathan Kirkpatrick.
Connor?
Connor Jonathan.
Jonathan Kirkpatrick. Kirkpatrick. That sounds like a politician or something.
I know, right? We wanted a strong name.
Little De La Torre también. Yeah, he's Irish. He's an Irish Mexican.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Oh, he's so precious. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we give thanks for this child. We thank you for the gift of this child to this family, and the gift of this child to the church, the gift of this child to the human race. And just as his name is very noble, we pray that his life will be a noble life, and he will develop into a noble man of God. We pray, Father, for his protection against violence of any kind, for you to guard him, Lord, and guide him and protect him against any kind of molestation or any kind of abuse in any way. Lord, we just pray a spirit shield around his life, around his body and around his mind, a spirit shield by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We cover this child with the shield of faith. Lord, we just thank you so much for what you're doing in the lives of these people, this family, Lord. And Father, for the mother and the father, Lord, and for the grandparents, Father, we bless them. We bless this family. We pray, Lord, that they will walk in wisdom in the raising of this child, that they'll be an example as a family, that they'll be an example to one another, an example to the neighbors, an example to the child, that they'll be an example of what life should be an example of how one serves the Lord, be an example of being raised properly in the house of the Lord and in the ways of God. And Lord, we just bless this precious family right now in Jesus' name. We bless them, Lord. We bless them, Lord, in Jesus' name. And Lord, for the father that's not with us this morning, we send, Lord, our blessing to him in Jesus' name. And we just thank you, Lord, that you're doing great and mighty things in their lives, Lord. And Lord, this baby, Lord, we give him to you. We present him to you. We dedicate him to you. Lord, he is a gift from you to this family. And now we give back, Lord, we give back this child in the spiritual sense. We give him back to you that you might care for him, that you might be his heavenly father forever and ever. Amen. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I need a favor. As a church, we like to create a little document, and it's a legal document that has his birth date and his full legal name. And so I need you to write his actual birth date and his exact legal name so we can put it on this certificate. And our secretary will make this up and we'll present it to you later. But it's actually a legal document. We've actually had the county call us and need to see this kind of paperwork because someone lost their birth certificate or whatever. And they want confirmation, you know, and so having the birth date, we'll have his birth date and also the day he's dedicated and la, la, la. But it's actually a legal document that needs to be cared for. And so we need his actual birth date and full legal name. Okay, get that to us today, okay? God bless you guys. Okay, grandparents, spoil him. Spoil him in the love of the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. That's so precious. Connor. Connor Jonathan Kirkpatrick. Wow. That's just nobility all the way, isn't it? You put Prince in front of those three names and just, there he is. Prince Connor. We're going to be looking at what to preach. Now, a number of you folks here today have either preached or taught in some sense of the word, taught the word of the God, word of God, and you probably have had that question arise in your heart or in your mind: what to preach? What am I going to preach? Let's say Mitch is on, he's on schedule. Let's say for next Sunday, and he's probably already saying, "Well, Lord, what would you have me preach?" Now, that's a good question, but all good questions need answers. Amen? And a good question needs a good answer. And I want to start in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. I want you to know that everything that comes from the Word of God under the anointing of the Holy Spirit is from God. And because God's world, His Word world, is so huge, God's Word world, Bible world, is so huge, you can preach on a different subject every day from now to eternity. But the focus of your message needs to be Jesus. Jesus is the everything. He's the all in all. He's the purpose and the will of God. Are you ready to read the verse? I think we probably have it on the board this morning. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. We sang that song this morning, I'm not ashamed. Amen? Well, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God to salvation, for everyone that believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek, and for everyone that loves Mexican food. I wanted to make sure you felt included. Okay, I want you to feel included in this. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation for you. How do you get saved? By hearing and believing and confessing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what is the gospel of Jesus Christ? Well, to narrow it down, we could say from Genesis to Revelation. Well, to narrow it down, the gospel of Jesus Christ is this. If you believe in Jesus and confess Him as your Savior, you don't have to burn in hell. That's good news. That's just real good news. Yeah. If you believe in Jesus Christ and develop a lifestyle of living for Him, you'll have a better life. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. If you build your faith on Jesus Christ and His power, build your faith on His blood, build your faith on the anointing and the power that's in His name, you get your prayers answered. That's good news. And so the world just gets bigger and bigger and bigger as you look at it. But it all comes from Jesus. He's the everything. He's the source. He's the base. He's the foundation. It's all about Jesus. You might say, well, what about the Old Testament? Well, the Old Testament points towards Jesus. If you'll study with an open heart and an open mind, the entire Old Testament is showing you what it's all about through Jesus. He's in there. Really, He is. And so Paul says, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. So what to preach, Mitch? Preach without shame, for one thing. Preach boldly. If you're not ashamed of something, you're bold. Bold. My son, Bobby Scott, most of you know him. He went to Bible school, and he was very exuberant. Especially in his younger years, he was very exuberant. He had a lot of zeal. in high school. He began to serve the Lord in high school. In his junior and senior year, he started carrying his Bible to school. Well, he had a lot of zeal, but he was still involved somewhat in some of the world's activities and various things. He got in a fight in high school. And actually, boxed it out with this guy. And so he gets expelled. And he said, the hardest thing in my life, he said, I had just started carrying my Bible to school, and I was trying to learn to live right. But he fell off the wagon, so to speak, and he gets in his fist fight. And he said, it was so hard when the principal said I was expelled. He said, sir, may I please go back to the room? I need to get my Bible. He said, if I could have crawled under the rug, I would have. I mean, it's just like, he said, I felt about this tall, but he said, I didn't want to leave my Bible in the classroom. I needed to go get it. So he, great lesson learned there. But he was always very bold. And as he developed and grew and matured in the things of God, he kept his boldness. One of the first times we went down to Cumbas to do missions work in the early days, even before we had a house there, Bobby said, I want to go out and, where the people are, get somebody saved. And so he finds the ballpark stadium where they're doing baseball. And so he goes out there and he backs the truck up to the fence, and he lets the tailgate down. He gets out in the back of the truck and he starts preaching to everybody at the ball team and at the ball game. And several guys got saved. He had people come walking up to that truck, wondering what's going on. He ends up praying with them, and several guys got saved. One in particular became a preacher. Amen. But it was because he had boldness. Boldness. I've seen him right here in Douglas, go to the park, talking about the city park, fifth things. I've seen him go to the park and get up on the picnic table and just start preaching to anybody that he could, in the sound of his voice, just start preaching. Boldness. Well, I'm sharing these things with you because boldness is the opposite of being ashamed. I can imagine Paul the Apostle probably preached it loud and bold everywhere he went. He ended up in jail sometimes. He was so bold. But that didn't deter him or stop him. He was not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ because it's the power of God unto salvation unto those that believe. Amen. So what do you preach? Jesus, boldly. Now we're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the first five verses. Are you ready? And I, brethren, when I came to you, this is Paul the Apostle speaking, he said, I did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom declaring unto you the testimony of God. Now, I want to stop here just for a minute. I just mentioned Bobby went to Bible school, and I'm all for Bible school. Bible school is good. Everybody say Bible school is good. But as I read this for the first time, and I was working on this sermon a few days ago, and I read this part the first time, I thought, we send these guys, these young people to Bible school so they can be excellent in their presentation. How to speak. How to deliver the message. Well, there's a place for that. But it's interesting here. Paul was a professional religious speaker, and yet he didn't come with the excellence of speech. He wasn't concerned with the excellence of speech or how well he could deliver a sermon. Let's move on and we'll see what his concern was or what his system was. Number two, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. What do you preach? Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Verse 3, I was with you in weakness and fear and much trembling. My speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Ivan, you'll probably go to Bible school. You're thinking about that line, aren't you? Keep this verse in mind. when they start teaching you how to deliver a speech, listen and learn. But keep your number one focus on the demonstration and power of the Holy Spirit. Paul was a terrific speech orator. Is that the right word, orator? Orator? Thank you, bro. Glad we got school teachers here to straighten me out. Orator. Orator, what, you know, we got Irish taters and sweet taters and orators. You know where I come from. I didn't go to school. But it's so cool that Paul had his focus on the demonstration and the power of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that cool? Everybody say, that's cool. And back to verse 2, he said, I didn't know anything but Jesus Christ, him crucified. What do you preach? Well, just preach Jesus, man. Just preach Jesus. Everybody remembers Billy Graham, and you've seen the news here in the last month or so. He passed away, went to glory, 90-some years old. His message was probably the best message for winning souls that's ever been preached. I don't know how many souls he won to Christ. Only God knows. But it could be that he's won the blue ribbon. It very well could be that he's won the blue ribbon, winning the most souls, had the most successful and fruitful ministry of soul winning. And he had such a simple message. He would start it simple, present it simple, and end it up simple. And it would be something like this. He'd say, God loves you. And he gave his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for your sins so that you could go to heaven and live eternally with him. And people go flooding to the altars, man, giving, you know, bawling, crying, God, I need you. Repeating the sinner, what we call the sinner's prayer, getting right with God, getting born again. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the most powerful message we can preach, Mitch. It's the most powerful message we can preach. You know, if you keep it simple, somebody will get it. Amen. Well, let's move on to Acts 9. We're going to be looking here at some of the things Paul preached. Acts 9, verse 20. Everybody's happy. Now, this is right in the middle. Verse 9, the chapter 9 is all about Saul's conversion. And it would behoove you to read this whole chapter when you get a chance. But please don't start reading it now, because I want you to stay attentive to what I'm trying to share with you. But Paul had just received his conversion. He had just been knocked down by this divine supernatural light, and he had been blinded by this light. His whole world had been turned upside down. And then he goes he's led to this man's house where he's being prayed for. And he was baptized in water and confessed the Lord, Jesus as his Savior. And then in verse 20, immediately he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he was the Son of God. First sermon. Now, not his first sermon as such, because he was a learned religious orator. So he had preached other sermons after a different fashion. But this is his first sermon after conversion to Christ. What did he do? He preached Jesus. You know. Please, as I say what I'm about to say, please just bear with me. I don't want you to take this wrong, but he did say, okay, we're going to share with you now today about the grace of God. You know, you need more of the love of God in your life. I want to share with you what a good father is. You know, we got to do that for Father's Day. Keep that in mind. Yeah. But, you know, there's all this subject matter. Good subjects, right? Need to be taught, right? Yeah. But I'm impressed by the fact that the first thing out of his mouth was Jesus. What happened to you, Paul? I hear you got knocked off your horse. He said, well, it wasn't a horse, it was a mule, but yeah, he got knocked off. Well, we don't even know on that part. But, you know, what's going on in your life, Paul? He said, Jesus turned my world upside down. I was blind and now I can see. I was blind in the spirit and now I see. I was blind in the physical and now I see. I was all messed up with religion and now I'm straightened out because of Jesus. He preached Jesus. Jesus was the reason of his conversion. And he let the world know. Acts 17, verses 2 and 3. Now here we find Paul going into the synagogue of the Jews. And then Paul, as his custom was, he went into them and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, what's his sermon here? What's his punchline? This Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ. What do we preach, Mitch? Jesus is the Christ. He's the Christ of God, the anointed of God, the Messiah that was to come. He is God's answer for mankind. How many know the human race could use some answers? Well, Jesus is the only answer that's lasting and firm and going to really work. You can find some temporal answers out there to your dilemmas, but Jesus is the only one that will solve the problem for good. Take the gospel. Gospel. Take your gospel and count on Jesus to change your life. Amen. Now, in Hebrews chapter 1, we have an interesting scripture. It's one of my many favorites. I have so many favorite scriptures. People laugh at me. Oh, that's your favorite now. The first three verses of Hebrews chapter 1. Are we ready? God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past. Everybody say time past. So we're looking at the time factor as part of what's going on here, okay? God spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, but it has in these last days spoken to us by his son. Who's his son? Now, it was a good thing to be spoken to of God by the prophets. That was a good thing. But God moved it up. He moved it and moved it up. He moved the bar up. Amen. He raised the bar. And now he's speaking to us by his son. His son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom he also made the worlds. Who being, this Jesus is being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power. When he had by himself purged our sins, cleansed our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. What do we preach? Jesus. You know, one very good reason to preach Jesus is because the scripture here just told us that God in these days is speaking to us by his son. So we give the prophets their honor, honor unto whom honor is due. We give all the subject matter of the Bible its time and its honor and its place. But our main focus must be Jesus. Everything we preach needs to be because of and point back to Jesus. If you want to preach on love, you want to preach on grace, you want to preach on peace, preach on joy, you know, all these things, always make sure those subject matters point back to Jesus. Jesus is everything. He's not just the main thing. He's everything. Now, turning backwards in your Bible to the book of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the first verse of John, are we ready? First three verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Okay, just, you know, before we go any further, who would you say the Word is? It's God, but we also we call Jesus the Word, right? He all through the Bible, Jesus is called the Word. And it says here that the Word was with God and the Word was God. Okay? And it said Jesus was there. Now, not Jesus as the human flesh person, but Jesus as the spirit person. When he was the Word with God and the Word as God, he was not Jesus yet. That came several thousand years later. And we'll get to that in a minute. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him, the Word, was life, and the life was the light of men. Okay, I was just going to go three verses. I went four. But now look at verse 14. And the Word, remember the Word was with God and was God? This same Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Now that's when he takes on the name of Jesus. When he was made flesh. Are you with me? And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. In verse 29, here John the Baptist is about ready to baptize Jesus in water at the beginning of the ministry of the Lord Jesus. Verse 29, the next day John, that's not John the Apostle, but John the Baptist, he saw Jesus coming towards him and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." I love that. Now, John and Jesus were cousins. Did you know that? You say, "What do I do now?" And they were about 3 months apart. John was the older. And here John, you know, he has this ministry of water baptism, bringing people's attention and their focus back onto serving God. And he sees Jesus, his cousin, walking down to the water to get baptized. And out of his mouth comes this prophetic declaration, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." Now to this Jewish preacher, John the Baptist, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, that corresponds with the Lamb that was sacrificed in their religion. And he could see Jesus as being the sacrificial Lamb that cleaned up the sin mess. Oh, hallelujah. What do we preach? Jesus. That's the greatest message ever, that Jesus came to take sins away. He's the Lamb of God that cleans up the mess. How many know sin will get you in a mess? Boy, do I ever. I could tell you some stories. But Jesus cleans up the mess. Your mess, my mess, your mess, my mess. He'll clean it up because he's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. So what do we preach? Jesus. Let's go to the book of Isaiah, chapter 7. And this corresponds with what we just read in verse 14 of John, where it said the Word was made flesh. So keep this in mind. John said the Word is made flesh. Now here, way back in Isaiah's day, he gave a prophecy under the unction of the Spirit and says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." Now does anyone, all you Bible scholars, what does the name Emmanuel signify? What is the definition of Emmanuel? God with us. John 1:14, the Word made flesh and dwelt among us. Emmanuel, God with us. It's all about Jesus. Amen. It's all about Jesus. And it's interesting. A good follow-up on this sermon would be how that the Word was made flesh, God with us, so that he could be in us and work through us. You know, Jesus, I'm not going into the same scriptures as right now, but we are the body of Christ, right? I mean, Paul taught us that all through Corinthians and, you know, Galatians. We're the body of Christ, guys. Jesus has a body. And we are that spiritual body of Christ. So everything that God does and wants to do, he does and wants to do through his body. It's not like the head gets all the glory and does all the stuff. The head's saying, hey, I have a body that's going to take care of some stuff for me. Aren't you glad your head can give command to the hands and have the hands do something? Give a command to your feet and have your feet do something? Well, Jesus is the same way. He's the head and he's trying to give commands to his hands and feet so we will do something. Good preaching. In Matthew chapter 1, if you've been here at Christmas time, you've heard me preach this before. In Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 21, what's our focus this morning? Jesus. What are we preaching this morning? Jesus. Verse 18, now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. And then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Greatest message we can preach is Jesus can save us from our sins. You can learn to some extent to walk in love. You could learn to some extent to walk in joy. You could learn to some extent to have a little bit of peace in your life. But until you deal with the sin problem, you're going to have challenges that cannot be fully overcome. Jesus came to fix that and take away the sin. That should make you really happy. And that should be the sermon that we share with everybody sooner or later. Sooner is better. Ivan, Jesus wants to take your sin away. I'm not trying to take your sin away. I don't even know all the dumb stuff you do. Jesus knows it all, and he wants to take your sin away. And you don't need to shake your finger at that sinner and say, you dirty, rotten sinner, if you don't turn, you're going to burn. They already know that. They don't need to be reminded of bad news. What they need to be told is the good news. Hey, sinner boy, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, but Jesus will fix that. God has made a way through his love and mercy and grace by sending his son Jesus to die on the cross as a payment in full, a sacrifice for our sins. Jesus came to fix this sin problem. Amen. So, again, the title of our sermon, what to preach? Preach Jesus. Looking at Acts 22, verse 3, I want to show you a little bit of Paul's background. Acts 22, verse 3. That boy is saying amen. And then he said, hallelujah. I love it. Here Paul the Apostle says in verse 22, I am indeed a Jew. He was a Jew and proud of it. Amen. I was born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city, at the feet of Gamaliel, taught according to the strictness of our fathers in law, and was zealous towards God, as you all are today. What I want you to see here, Gamaliel was like the best Bible school teacher the Jewish race ever had. He knew the law upside down and backwards and wrong side out. And, you know, he could quote it. He had it memorized. He knew the law. And Paul studied at his feet. And so Paul became a very learned, scholarly, religious zealot. He was sold out to the things he had learned in his Bible school, if we could call it that. And so kind of get the picture here that Setting under the best, he also became the best. He was good, man. He could deliver. Okay, let's look at, and bless you, brother, in Philippians chapter 3, I want you to look at something as Paul kind of, over here in Philippians, he sums up some things that make your knees knock together in the fear of God. Philippians 3, we're going to look at verses 3 through 8. Now, circumcision, of course, is the Jewish rite over the males. And Paul says, "For we are the circumcision who worship God in spirit." Now, if we had the time today, we'd go back to Romans chapter 3, verse of chapter 2 and chapter 3, where he talks about circumcision should now be that of the heart and not of the flesh. Okay? "For we are the circumcision who worship God in the spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so." Paul's saying, you think you got confidence in the flesh? Listen to my resume. I was circumcised the eighth day. I'm of the stock of Israel. I'm of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee. The Pharisee was the religious sect of the Hebrews and the Jews that was the most fierce, militant zealots of the bunch. You didn't do the law their way, your life was in jeopardy, literally. And Paul was, he was the top dog. Number 6, concerning zeal, I persecuted the church. You know, he wasn't always God's man of power for the hour as an apostle. He used to be a Christian hater. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which was by the law, blameless. In other words, he says, I lived the law to the T. But number 7, but what things were gained to me, these I've now counted for loss. For Christ. He counted all that religiosity, if that's a word, counted it all as loss for Christ. To him, Christ Jesus was far above anything he had learned in man's law. Number 8, yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. What do we preach? Christ Jesus our Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. Now, if you have an old King James Version, it says he counted them as dung. You know what dung is? Most of you do. Poop. He says all that training that I had that never presented Christ to me is a bunch of bunk. That's what he said right here. Now, you got to be careful of that. You don't want to show disrespect. But he is showing disrespect to the things that never pointed him to Christ. It was a rubbish. It was a waste of time. Now, different people call it different things. My dad had a dear Christian friend, Mr. Vaughn. They were friends for many, many years. And Mr. Vaughn wouldn't cuss, but he had his own variety of words. And he didn't use the word dung or some of those other words. He'd say, bull corn. Well, you know what corn turns into after it runs through the bull. Paul the Apostle said, that stuff wasn't leading me to Jesus. It was a bunch of bull corn. Another one of his, I can remember this because I remember that family so well. He had a son my age. But anyway, another one of his favorite sayings, if you told him something he didn't believe it, he'd say, oh, horse feathers. Well, everybody knows horses don't have feathers, right? So the way he was saying that's not true or that cannot be, no lo creo, horse feathers. So, you know, let's not let horse feathers and rubbish and dung and religious teaching that does not point to Jesus, let's not let that in our life. Let's separate that out from our life. Amen? Now in Philippians 3, we're still in Philippians 3, aren't we? Look at verse 13 and 14. Are we ready? Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, that was his religious teaching that didn't point to Jesus, I'm reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. What he's saying here in so many words is, everything I've learned that didn't point me to Jesus, forget it. I'm forgetting it. I'm putting it back. It's out of my way. It's under my feet. It's not to be considered. It'll do me no good. I'm pressing on towards one major perfect goal, Jesus Christ. Everybody say, Jesus is everything. So Mitch, when the question arises, what do I preach? Let your first answer be Jesus. And then whatever the Holy Spirit leads you, make sure it's the Holy Spirit leading by watching how your subject matter connects to Jesus. If it's not connecting to Jesus, that wasn't the Holy Spirit that led you. The Holy Spirit will only lead you to connect to Jesus. All subject matter that's ever taught, all subject matter that's ever preached, must connect to Jesus or it's not to be preached. Oh, he's so good. You want to draw close to God? Jesus is your answer. You want your sins forgiven? Jesus is your answer. You want to know what to preach or teach? Jesus is your answer. Everybody say, Jesus is my everything. Now, I know this is probably a simple little sermon that you probably won't write home about, but if I can leave you with that and somehow get it in your heart, it'll do you good for the rest of your days. Jesus is to be your focus. Jesus is to be your focus. It's because he's the answer, guys. He's the answer to everything. Everything. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. I want everybody to stand to your feet, please. Close your eyes in prayer. I just, in my spirits, Peter, I'd rather not have music right now. Thank you. That's very precious of you, but I want the quiet. I just hear in my spirit, I hear a stirring in my spirit, and if my spirit can talk for a moment, I'd like for it to be said that someone here, you've been to church a lot of times, you've sought God in several different ways, but you've really never found the Jesus that we're talking about today. You've never really felt the release from sin that we're talking about today. And if someone like that is here today, I want to help you find Jesus. I want to help you find deliverance and freedom from your sins. So just raise your hand and say, Preacher, pray for me. I need to find deliverance. I need the Jesus you're talking about. Just be bold. If there's something stirring in your heart right now, I need Jesus. And I don't understand a lot of this. I don't know what's going on exactly, but I know I need God. I know I need Jesus. Preacher, pray for me. Just raise your hand. We'll just take care of that. It's so easy to be introduced to your Savior, to the one that wants to forgive you of all sin. Okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray for you. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that if there's anybody here today that needs to call out on you, if there's anybody here today that needs their sins forgiven, I pray that this sermon, this message, will go home with them and haunt them until they get on their knees and cry out, Jesus, save me. Father, I pray this in your precious name, in Jesus' name. Whoever you are, you're going to go home and you're going to be haunted by this message. And you're going to have to just give it up and just give it up. Just throw your hands in the air, your knees on the floor and say, I give it up. Jesus, save me. It's that simple. If you do that with a hungry heart for God, you will be saved. And He will forgive you. He wants to forgive you. In fact, He already forgave you 2,000 years ago. You just need to accept the benefit. He doesn't have to generate new forgiveness. He just needs you to receive and accept the benefit. It's there for you. Like having money in the bank, but if you don't write a check for it or use your debit card, that money will just stay there forever and you get no benefit. Our salvation is like that. Our forgiveness of sins is like that. We must tap into the benefit by faith. Did you have something?
I'm not dealing with a sin, but I just want more.
You just want more. Father, how many would raise your hand and say, I want what Nina wants. I want more. I want more. Well, just keep your hand raised up there for a minute. As a signal. When you have your hand in the air, it's like a signal. Lord, I give up. Lord, I need attention. You know, in the classroom, you wave your hand to be heard. There's something about raising your hand. Father, in Jesus' name, more is the desire of her heart. More of Jesus. More of Jesus. More of Jesus. More of Jesus. More of your attribute. More of your nature. More of your personality. More of your presence. More of you, Lord. More. More. Father, I'm praying for more, for Nina, for me, for everybody in here that wants more. More of Jesus. More and more and more and more. Open the doors of our heart to receive the more. Lord, you have the more. You have the abundance. You have the bounty of love and salvation. Lord, teach us to open our hearts to receive the more. Increase our capacity to receive the more. In Jesus' name. Less of me, more of you, Lord. Less of me, more of you. Less of me, more of you. In Jesus' name. Less of me, more of you. Amen. So did we answer the question, what to preach? Keep it simple. You can share philosophy if you're trained to do that. You can share philosophy. You can share tradition. You can share various religious ideals. But only sharing Jesus is going to fix the person and take care of their need. Well, you just have a really wonderful week. We appreciate you coming and appreciate if you could come back Wednesday night. We really appreciate your attendance and your support. Thank you for your giving. Your generous hearts are very, very precious to the kingdom of God. Your tithes, your offerings, your gifts of love are very, very appreciated. Thank you so much. Tell somebody that on the way out that Jesus is the answer. God bless you.